Welcome back to the Insane Asylum. Once again, the Night of the Living Dreads podcast, episode 49. We're getting up there in age. I'm Otis B. Dreads. And of course, well, I didn't really put it out there that this is going to be an NLD Goes to the Movies, but this is an NLD Goes to the Movies. So, of course, we have our normal panel. Of course, we have SJ with us. How are things down south, sir?
Pretty well down here. Normal cast. I don't know about that. I don't think there's anything normal about any one of us motherfuckers, but...
Yeah, I mean, that was the wrong adjective. And then, of course, we have Mrs. Dreads with us, who joins us when we go to the movies. How are you, Mrs. Dreads?
I'm good.
You're good. All right. I think you're lying. and of course, last but certainly not least, we have a good friend, Dom, who joins us on there. How are you, sir?
I am doing well this evening.
This is going to be kind of a good one here. I think it's kind of split down the middle with me as far as how I like these movies. But before we get into that, let's throw out some horror love. Gorehounds of Horror over there on Facebook, open closed group, check them out. Misfit Horror Fiend Club, a good buddy, Van, over there, and his wife, Trisha, running that group. Good people over there. Check them out. Misfit Horror Fiend Club. We got the Zombie Boob, my favorite. And then, of course, we have Slaughterhouse. Slaughter on, Wayne.
This is for you, Jody. Slaughter on, Garth. Did I say Goth?
Goth. I said goth. It almost sounded goth.
That's a different.
Hey, maybe
a different
it's kind of fitting.
Slaughter on, Garth. There we go.
He dedicated that to you, Jody, because he knows how much you love that little bit.
I know you're a big fan of that shout out.
It's a favorite shout out, right? Okay, so see, now I've lost. Oh, okay, we got Zombie Boo, we got Slaughterhouse. Here's one that I did mention earlier in the week to one of the admins of the page, the Twilight Hour. Now I've always mentioned After Dark doing these watch parties. I think Twilight, the Twilight Hour, probably has them beat. Check them out over there on Facebook as well. And, of course, our non-horror Cannabis RK, Cannabis spelled with a K. A lot of funny things going on over there. Funny things being smoked, funny things being said. Just a really, really cool group. Check them out. And, of course, Night of Living Dreads, we're over there. Where I mentioned Gorehounds, Jody. She thinks I miss Gorehounds. That's the first one I say. Night of Living Dreads is over there on Facebook. Of course, nightoflivingdreads.com. Dreads with no A. And you can hear the podcast from the website as well as Stitcher. Everybody, I kind of felt the eyes looking at me when I got ready to say Stitcher.
Yeah, not Spotify, not Spotify. Apple Podcasts. Yeah, Stitcher.
Do you say Apple Podcast?
I don't think I said that. You can go back and fact check that later. Podcast.
I thought I heard that.
Well, maybe I did say podcast. Yeah. I was just on podcasts earlier. I must have it on the brain.
Okay, so we are going to the movies tonight. And we got a couple from the 80s, early 80s, mid 80s. Then we got one from the early 90s. And then we got one from just this year. So we're kind of keeping it like 80s, 190, and then recent. Of course, Mrs. Dredd, she's always going to start this off. Mm-hmm. Which actually, I don't think you have to. I don't think you have to worry about it too much. Mrs. Dredd, what was the movie that you picked this week for all of our viewing pleasure?
This week, I picked Bloody Birthday. It's a 1981 American slasher film directed by Ed Hunt, produced by Gerald T. Olson. It's about three kids who were born during an eclipse.
Solar eclipse?
Yeah.
Or lunar.
It was a solar.
I think it's a solar eclipse. I don't know if that makes a difference.
But it see, I'm not sure if because I'm reading some of the stuff off of Wikipedia. I don't know if it's because there's a. It's wrong.
Why?
It says that the its plot follows a group of children born on the same day who began committing murders on their 10th birthdays.
That's exactly what happened.
But they started killing before their birthday.
No.
That's
oh,
true.
No, they actually kind of did, yeah.
She killed her dad before her birthday because, right. Remember, her mom was crying.
So basically the premise is that all three of these kids were born at the same time, mm-hmm. which you never see in the movie. That actually happened.
That's kind of at the beginning when they had the solar eclipse.
When they had the solar eclipse and everything. And then was it one doctor or do you guys know? Was it one doctor delivering all three of these babies? Was that what was insinuated?
I'll jump in. That was confusing to me. I thought at first it was triplets or something because it's just still the credit sequence, so it's just a black screen and you're here just audio only of these three babies being born. And to me, it almost sounded like the same mother was giving birth to all three of these kids. But I guess maybe I missed something. But so I went into it thinking, hey, these are like triplets or something. So I know that they're all born on, you know, on the same eclipse night, but yeah, I have no idea. Dom, did you pick up on anything?
I don't recall them specifying if it was like the same doctor or not. Just that I got at first the same impression you did that like all three kids were born during the solar eclipse. And I thought like it was triplets and then you quickly find out it isn't.
Right.
Yeah, because I can't remember whether or not you ever saw Curtis's mom, which is funny, or Steven's mom, and the little girl's name I believe is Debbie,
mm-hmm.
and you always seem, but at that birthday party later on in the movie, they're all celebrating at the same time. So I came across it. In a different way than you, Dom, and you, SJ. I kind of thought, okay, these are just random mothers that give birth, at the same time, because that's not unusual, three different mothers are giving birth at the same time. Sure, that happens every day. During the solar eclipse, not sure what the fuck that has to do with anything and why all of a sudden, On their run up to their 10th birthday, they become little children of the corn or something.
It's because Saturn. Saturn blocked their emotional. It stunted their emotional growth because it was the planets were not aligned.
Oh, that's
the right.
Yes,
you remember that
lesson? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened. That's what made them killers. It's because Saturn, man.
It's because of Saturn. But honestly, Jody, I mean, being you picked this movie, what do you want to add to it? I mean, what did you think about it overall?
I didn't think it was horrible.
That's a glowing
I know, right?
I mean, I have to say this week there are worse.
Oh, man, that sounds like an SJ shot right there.
I'll take it.
But I would probably buy it.
I like little murders, demon kids in movies. Maybe that's just my preference.
And there was some good kill scenes. There was.
I thought there was too. What'd you guys think about the arrow in the eye?
Oh, jeez. Dom, you have something
nice.
To say on
yeah.
that?
That was done nice. Like I enjoyed this movie. This movie surprised me. Like I liked it a lot.
He said a lot, man. This got two
a
thumbs
lot.
Up from Dom, man.
Oh, I liked
like,
it
caught
lot.
Me off guard. It caught me off guard being like three little kids like that are total sociopaths. Like, look out. Like, they're killing everybody. They're going to kill this one's dad. They're going to kill the one kid. They're going to lock him in the, what was it, a refrigerator in a junkyard playing hide and go seek. Like,
yeah.
That was dark.
Yeah, that was dark. That was a kind of a horrific scene because you can kind of imagine yourself as a kid being victim of a prank like that. And now you're locked in this. you know, and kind of put yourself.
I
in
heard
that
stories movie. Like that of kids that were playing and like got into a car and couldn't get out. And yeah, kids took off and stuff when I was young and, you know, used to be able to do dumb shit like that. But
right. It's the kind of thing your grandma used to warn you about.
Right. But I thought like this movie was dark. I like the sister is charging the boys money to come over and watch her sister dance naked. And it's like, oh my God, she got a peephole drilled through her closet wall. And then she kills her with that arrow. Like that was just, I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was kind of like over the top. And at the same time, like, I thought it was shocking just because you couldn't make a movie like this now.
Right.
You couldn't make a movie about 3 10-year-olds that are like killing their classmates and killing their teacher and killing their parents and like framing it and getting away with it. And even at the end, like the little girl gets away, she kills some dude who was working on a car. She lowers the car on him. Like, oh my God, like they don't stop.
just right. Stop. You're in timeout.
Stop. Right? Yeah. And in that last scene, you're not even sure if the mom is she's complicit in getting her daughter out of trouble, but who really killed that truck driver? Because she's just playing with that floor jack at the end of the movie. You don't actually see her put it down on the guy, do you? Or did I miss something?
That's true. True. No, I just assumed it was because...
Yeah, I didn't know what to make of that.
She didn't really... Like, I don't think the girl... Yeah, she killed her sister. I was just saying, I don't remember her specifically killing somebody. Seemed like she liked to be there all the time. She thought about pushing that kid off the treehouse.
Oh, he was
asking
for it. I
thought she was
going
to push him.
She was a little mastermind.
Right?
She was, man. She was like, what was it? It was Isaac, wasn't it? The little blackhead kid in Children of the Corn?
Mm-hmm.
Like the little mastermind motherfucker? Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was right. Like the little girl version of Isaac, man. She kind of looked creepy, man. Bug her as a creepy little kid.
Yeah, and her weapon of choice was just I think it was a jump rope.
Oh yeah,
because they alluded to that, and started the whole movie off. The first kill in the movie is a shovel to the face multiple times, and then a jump rope hanging scene, and she proceeds to use that weapon for the rest of the. Anytime she's doing the killing, it's a jump rope. You know, you got the one kid with the gun, and that kid right there. That I think that guy scared me the most, like his kill face, like that scene when he goes in and kills the two, you know, teenagers making out in the back of the van. That face he has when he's just firing bullets into their body. Right. It's just like, so there's no emotion except for glee. He's gleefully shooting people. And then he just moves on to the next kill. These kids are sadistic. I think they're worse than anything we see in Three from Hell, which we'll get to, but these are the real Three from Hell, I think.
Oh man, that's perfect though. That really is. So I guess we should hand out some skulls in this one. We'll start with you, Jody. Out of 5 skulls, what are you giving this one?
I'll go right in the middle. I'll go 2.5.
2.5 skulls for this one. Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Let's just go around the table. Dom, what are you going to give Bloody Birthday, this little gem?
I'm giving this one 3.75 skulls because it shocked me and surprised me, and I enjoyed it.
3.75. I wouldn't expect any less.
It's not a 4 skull movie.
No. SJ, sir, what are you giving this little Bloody Birthday?
I'm going to give this little gem, this little forgotten horror gem, a straight up 3. I was entertained. I laughed. I was horrified. And I had never heard of it or seen it before. So blind. And as I think Dom said, I was pleasantly surprised by this one, too. It was of course, the acting is kind of all over the place and is kind of tone deaf as a movie. Not really quite sure what they're to go for, but for 3 little rapscallions going on a killing spree, I thought it was a pretty good little joint.
It's a rapscallion. Oh, man. I'm going to go a little in between USJ and U-Dumb. I'm going 3.5, big 3.5. I really enjoyed this, but then I'm a little partial to crazy little psycho sociopath kids running around causing mayhem and just killing people in strange, unbelievable, cheesy ways. And if that's your shtick, well, you'll love this one, Bloody Birthday.
Sounds like it almost reminds you of your childhood a little bit, Arrows. Give you some fun.
No, we'll get into one. I think I'd like to hand this one over to Dom, if he would be so kind, because this was another one that I thoroughly enjoyed. And sorry, Jody, this one will probably get a little bit higher skull rating, in my opinion. But what was this heavy metal fucking jam, horror movie, kind of whatever you want to call it, that you picked for us, Dom?
My pick was 1986's Trick or Treat, which starred Skippy from Family Ties. I always got to call him Skippy, Mark Price.
Yeah.
As Eddie Weinbauer, and also has cameos from Gene Simmons of Kiss and Ozzy Osbourne. And the story is about Skippy is a metalhead kid in school who gets picked on by the jocks, who finds his release in music and heavy metal and just turning the music up and blasting everything out. And his favorite artist dies in a fire. It's this satanic rocker named Sammy Kerr, who graduated from the same high school that Skippy's going to and is banned from playing the high school, graduation party he wanted to come play or something.
Right.
And
yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, Skippy goes to the radio station where Gene Simmons is working, and Gene Simmons gives him Sammy Kerr's last demo, which he has the only copy of because he sent it to the radio station instead of the record company. But that plot hole aside, what is really cool here?
He must have known he was going to die.
Right? So Eddie brings this album, this demo home, and it's vinyl, and he puts it on, he starts playing, and he listens to it, and the soundtrack's great. Like, I saw this movie in the movie theater when it came out, and this is the first time I've seen it since. I actually like it way more now than I did in 1986. I was kind of disappointed. But and the first thing I did after I saw this movie was I went out and bought the soundtrack because I thought Fastway was jamming this movie. Like, I loved their whole album. But he starts noticing that there's backward messages in at the end or that it's some kind of language. And he goes over and starts playing it backwards. And he starts getting, you know, he has a conversation with the ghost or whatever of Sammy Kerr. And he begins to use this demo like a Ouija board. And it's like one of the coolest concepts, really. Like, I love the whole idea of what they were doing. And they go with it. And through method, Sammy Kerr is able to come back from the dead and pretty much wreak havoc and start killing everybody. It's fun. It's a fun movie. I wish there was more gore that I like. And I also wish they would have casted somebody else to be Sammy Kerr. I didn't like Tony Fields and his dance routines and stuff, like everything away from being a satanic rocker that I know. But outside of that, I love this movie's just fun.
You know what I thought, Dom? He said, you know, all of a sudden he comes back and, you know, in the flesh, I guess, or, you know, he's reincarnated through this devil album. It all got started from a Pepsi. All Sammy wanted was a Pepsi. Just one Pepsi.
Right?
And what happened when he got that fucking Pepsi?
Pepsi has the power. Pepsi has the power to turn records into real life. And this, like you said, a Ouija board record into, like, terrifying electric life.
And wasn't it when he first got the album, you know, because what was Skippy's name in the movie, or should we just call him Skippy?
Eddie.
We can call him Skippy. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Skippy slash Eddie. you know, he was getting bullied, you know, like, you know, he's the metal kid, the weird one. He's getting bullied by the, you know, kind of the uppity kind of snob jock motherfuckers, you know, which is, I was that heavy metal kid in high school, picked on for no damn reason, you know, and people fucking with me because the way I looked or the music I listened to. So I could kind of relate to Skippy's character there. Which is initially what grabbed me with it. It kind of took me back to my high school days, you know, and dealing with shit like that and being in those awkward situations and whatnot. So it had that nostalgic, you know, feel for me. The dance. The dancing by Sammy there when, you know, later on in the movie when he is at manifest again. It seemed like all through electronics, wasn't it? I mean, they pretty much had to, like, at one point unplug everything because his energy was traveling through it or something. Am I right on that?
Yeah.
So
his
dancing. I think I mentioned it in our chat for the podcast. His dancing, you know, reminded me a little bit of Freddie Mercury. And come to find out, that guy that played him was kind of a like professional dancer.
Oh yeah, absolutely was. Like when you see him doing his spins and stuff, like, you know, like, this guy's been doing this his whole life. Like,
right.
And he's not a satanic rock star, too.
I think I mentioned it was a very unmetal dance. It was a very unmetal portrayal. he was kind of, yeah, I don't know. But I really dug this movie. Joe, what do you think of it? It was a throwback.
I think Jody's mic's off or something.
I was going to say, I can't hear.
Oh, no wonder, because I had her down.
He had me muted.
I got to mute your wife like that.
You shut up before I get in any more trouble. All right, try it again, Jody.
As I was saying, no, I like this movie.
Watch your tone.
Like Kurt said, it was a throwback. It's what you would expect out of an 80s horror flick. I mean, like you said, there could have been more blood and gore, but it was good.
Gene Simmons looked like Macho Man Randy Savage.
I don't think he did at all.
With the hat and the glasses and that just, it's not really a 5 o'clock shadow. It's more like a 2-day-old beard.
Oh, is it being that television or that reverend or whatever he was?
Right.
The way they introduced him in that clip was great. He's like the an evangelist and a moral crusader, the reverend. Yeah. I don't remember what his name was.
The reverend.
Reverend Ozzy Osbourne.
That
was perfect. I mean, obviously it was played as a joke, you know. But
now
I don't know.
Well, go ahead, SJ.
No, you go ahead. I was just gonna say I've seen some reviews of the movie where they kind of tear down Ozzy's little cameo there. Like, look at him, you know, go talking bad about metal and shit. Like, you motherfuckers really don't get the joke,
right?
How stupid are people? I mean, Jesus Christ.
I got it right away. I just thought, it was just so like, okay, we have Ozzy here with his little hair slicked, with his hair parted on the side and slicked back, little suit and everything, talking about how, you know, the heavy metal and people who listen to heavy metal, it should all be done away with. And then how does Sam get back with him? He uses his electricity powers to wipe the screen and get Ozzy somehow.
Right. Grab his face out of the screen.
And this movie came out in 86, and sometime between like 81 to 85, a lot of people don't know, like, there became this whole crusade against heavy metal. But like, this movie was like almost like a big parody of what was happening at that time. In that aspect, because there was this, I think that was around the time that the PMRC was being put together.
Dee Snider went in front of Congress.
That was coming up. I think that takes place maybe like shortly after this happened.
Well,
I think that might have been like a
funny.
Year.
That's funny because Sammy Kerr in the movie is speaking to what it looks like a congressional panel, like in one of the first scenes of the movie. So did this movie kind of predict things to come?
One more James.
That's interesting.
I'm looking up right now.
Yeah, because that was the clip.
Oh, the hearings were in 85. Okay.
Oh, so it was right.
So
before.
This was probably happening around the same time. Yeah, because this came out in October of 86. I think it came out for Halloween. I think that year.
That's great.
So
that's a good point, Don. Because I never picked that up. I mean, I guess now that you mention it, it seems so obvious that it was kind of in a sense this movie and what was going on then in that, heavy metal, the that music genre and the PMRC and this big backlash against heavy metal music and, Satan, is life, is art imitating life or life imitating art at that point, with this movie and what was really going on at that time that this movie was made. I mean, there's direct links to it.
Yeah, that was a big thing, too, was that's the discovery of, quote unquote, the backward messages. And they were going through and they were putting that garbage on TV like, oh, yeah, listen, this guy wants you to kill himself or kill yourself because, like, he doesn't want you to buy his next album. He don't want your money. Like, when he comes on door and comes to your city, he hopes you're not there. Don't buy that ticket or any merchandise. Like, it was some of the dumbest shit ever. Like, the blame of Vandal, and that's what this movie did, and it did it good, but, like, the thing that upsets me is, like, when he starts, like, shooting electricity out of his guitar and killing people in the crowd, it's like, if the deaths probably would have been done better, I understand what the special effects limitations were, like, there wasn't CGI in 1986, but, like, there was, like, Troma was doing all kinds of stuff, and there was other horror films that had done it. You know what I mean? If they had gone that extra and made, like, oh, look, his skin's bubbling or something, did something a little more, I think I would have enjoyed it even more.
I think they put most of the effects budget into that that tacked on electricity and stuff. And like all those, I don't know what you call it, that rotoscoping or whatever it is when they do that, but they just didn't have a good effects guy.
Those special effects remind me of another movie that Gene Simmons was in. It just meets the Phantom of the Park in 1978. It was like the same Hanna-Barbera stuff.
I haven't seen that one.
I haven't either. But I'm intrigued.
You guys are lucky. Trust me. Unless you just want to watch something 70s cheesy and bad.
I do. I'm raising my hand on that.
You'll love it.
Definitely checking that one out.
So let's, I guess, unless anybody has anything else they'd like to add to what I think was one of the... if not the best pick, in my opinion. Dom, we'll start with you. What did you give this pick? Now, this is one that you said you've seen before. So apparently you really liked it. And but how many skulls you giving this one, brother?
Well, I can't say I really liked it because I hated it the first time in 1986. But I liked it a lot this time, and I gave it 3.5 skulls.
3.5, awesome. SJ, what are you giving this metal masterpiece?
Oh, geez, man, I kind of want to go all the way on this one because I enjoy it. I guess I'm not going to go a full, what, 5 skulls?
Yes.
Is that right? I'm still new to this. 5 is the best. I'll give it a 4.5. Wow. That's how much I enjoy. I'm taking points off for, the kills could have been better, but then again, I don't think this is that kind of movie.
Yeah.
It did a lot of gore. It was just kind of perfect the way it was. I really like the fact that I can't call them two main characters, but the main character and his friend was I love that character. Can't remember his name right now. Dom, I don't know if you do, but his friend was a really good supporting character. He was also into metal, but he was kind of a more of a nerdy type. He didn't dress the part, but he knew everything about, you know, metal, just like Eddie. So I don't know. There's some good characters. And just it's one of the most 1980s, mid to late 1980s things I've ever seen. And it, I loved it. 4 out of 5.
I mean, you said 4.5, right? Okay, 4.5. 4.5. Skulls. Mrs. Dredge, what are you giving this one?
I'm gonna give it a 3.
Yeah, 3.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Not. Just...
I'm not a huge horror fan though. So.
What?
I mean,
metal
fan.
You better get out of my insane asylum.
I'm not a very huge metal fan.
What just happened?
What?
Oh yeah, we've heard it first right here.
Whatever.
So you don't like, because you're not like a big, you know, metal fan.
Yeah, so I've seen it kind of some parts more cheesy than.
Yeah. Okay, I get it. 3 skulls for you?
Yeah.
All right, I really dug this one. I'm giving it 4.25 skulls. That's right. 4.25 skulls.
Is that the first time you've ever given out a point
fraction
5?
No, Dom actually started that. He makes a point to give fractions of skulls out, and we all just kind of followed suit from that point on.
Yeah, a jawbone here, a couple of teeth there.
Right. That's a quarter. That's exactly what my 0.25 was. It was 4 skulls and a jawbone and 4 teeth.
What a hell of a score to give a movie.
Well, there's going to be some luck corpses coming up and lucky skulls coming up, because I don't see many getting handed out with our last two picks. And we're going to start this shit storm with SJ's pick. SJ, what did you bless us poor folks with this
week? Oh, come on. Don't start it off like that. This is a certified classic in the history of cinema called Night Killer from 1990. This one was directed by, if I butcher this, Mark Claudio Fragasso. As any horror fans may know, this is the same guy that brought you another great classic cinema piece of cinema called Troll 2. So I think a lot of people will be familiar with that. What can I say about this movie? This is the story of a woman with amnesia, a guy with a really bad Freddy Krueger mask and claw, and some terrible dance sequences. This movie just kind of starts and ends, and there's no rhyme or reason to what happens. There's just a bunch of scenes of what the fuck. So the killer in this movie is not an actual monster or a zombie or, you know, a vampire, werewolf. No. It's just a guy in a cheap Halloween mask, we come to find out, who's going around terrorizing this community, murdering a bunch of people. And I don't know. I don't want to spoil the thing for anybody that might want to go out.
No, please give the spoil away. It spoiled itself.
It was already spoiled before the first line of dialogue was spoken. But no, so there's a woman who gets attacked by this guy. She doesn't die. She's lucky too, because the killer in this movie has the ability to punch right through people's torsos. Just bam, right through. Put his fist right through your front, and it comes right out the back, and you're dead.
You said he wasn't a monster or anything. Sorry, SJ. You said he wasn't a monster, and this guy got like super fucking powers. He just run around, you know, punching people right through the chest cavity.
He has the power of Claudio Fragasso behind the camera.
He's got the claw.
He's got the power of the latex glove.
Yeah. And so a woman gets attacked early on after, for some reason, doing a monologue to herself in a mirror and her own breasts. And she gets attacked by this guy who is so horny. What's the line he says? Oh my God, I'm going off the rails here. I can't even recap this movie. I can't.
That's what this movie
just talk
does
amongst yourselves. Let's just talk about it. Yeah, it really puts you in a strange frame of mind where you can't describe what you just saw. Look, a woman gets attacked by this guy in his terrible rubber mask, but she survives. She wakes up. She has amnesia. She can't remember what happened to her. And the guy took the mask off, so she saw his real face, but she can't remember it because the trauma of the attack was so severe that she can only remember this guy's face if she gets attacked by the same guy or some shit like that. Am I getting this right? I mean, this is my pick, and I don't even know what the fuck happened in it.
This movie made me so angry. I was so angry because at first you see this monster, and my first thing I said was, "This looks like somebody tried to like someone made a bad Toxic Avenger mask for Halloween 1 year out of like paper mache, and the kid wouldn't wear it." And it's like, "Well, I'll show you, you little bastard. I'll make a movie." Because that was my first thought. And then he's chasing this girl, and he slams up against the wall because she moves out of the way. And you could see, like, his rubber fingers bend, like, 12 different ways. Dude, your fingers must have just snapped, like, 9 times, but I didn't hear any bones. And then he's able to punch through a human body with this hand, this rubber fucking hand that he made in his fucking garage. Which I was, oh, my God, what is happening here? And the kill scenes are so goddamn bad. Oh my God, it's the same scene. It's what?
Yes,
it's
mission accomplished.
And his shirt, hand punches through. It's the same. It's the same fucking close up over and over. Just change the shirt. Let's shoot it with this shirt. Like, oh no.
And that sound. And,
right? And then the woman gets traumatized. She gets out of the hospital. All she wants to do is kill herself. And the dude is stalking her. And she points a gun at him in a bathroom. And she makes him strip and flush his clothes down the toilet so she can get away. But he follows her away because he's a psychopath. And he finds her on the beach. And she's committing suicide. And he saves her so he can bring her back to his place.
Drink seawater.
Drink seawater. Do you puke? Tie her up. And rape and beat her until she becomes totally submitted and his total slave, only to find out that this guy is actually her husband, the undercover cop. Like, what?
Spoil it, but yep, that's what happens.
Fuck it. Fuck it. Don't watch this goddamn movie if you're listening to this podcast. Don't. I saw motherfuckers on YouTube. I watched reviews afterwards because I didn't want to come and trash it the same way other people have because I figured, like, it's going to be trash. And, like, no, they're like, this is a classic Italian giallo. Like, you can see it. It's like Dario Argento and Mario Bava. This is Claudio Fragasso, 1990. Like, no, this film is shit. Do not watch it. It is not like a Dario Argento or a Mario Bava film or a Lucio Fulci. It is nothing like that. Stay away from this film because the only thing worse than this film is the final 2 minutes of this film. Here's our ending. Surprise. Like, no surprise. This is stupid. Are you kidding me? What did I watch? So sorry. I had to get that.
At least the music was good.
In a minute. That was great.
At least the music was good.
And you know what? I didn't pause this movie once. I started it and I made it through. Like I was committed. Like, and at first I was like, "Oh, this is going to be fun," but it's not fun.
No. Speaking of the hand coming.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Did you say zero?
Yes, I did. Go ahead. What's your thoughts? We haven't heard your thoughts, Mr. Judge.
I pretty much have the same thoughts that you guys did. I'm actually scrambling around in my own brain trying to find some constructive way to enunciate how I feel about this movie. And it's hard because it is kind of one of those. I think just like there could, a few, little things in Trick or Treat that, maybe some of the effects and some of the little that we all kind of thought could have made this better. I don't think there's enough things to really make this better. The funniest shit to me was, and Dom, you kind of alluded to it with the hand. Every time it came through something, you could literally watch the nails and the fingers, and you would hear this. I would hear this sound in my head, boing, boing. Because you can just see the hand, the fingers just like bouncing up and down, flopping up and down. And it's like, come on, really? I mean, you couldn't have got like a better, hand, than that. And the very first time I saw the mask, I was like, that looks like a really bad fucking mask from like Party City or some shit. I mean, what they didn't even try.
No, they did not try at all. Like, no. And I'm looking at the other films that Claudio Fragasso is involved in as a writer and a producer or either or director or whatever. And I unfortunately know quite a few movies on this list, and they are absolutely some of the most terrible movies I have ever seen. Like, they got two of them, Zombie 3 and Zombie 4, that he put out, which are supposed to be sequels. Now, when Dawn of the Dead was released overseas, it was just called Zombie. And then Lucio Fulci made a zombie movie called Zombie, but since that one had already existed, they called it Zombie 2. Well, then they just took like two shit movies and they called them Zombie 3 and Zombie 4, and they had nothing to do with any of that. And this dude's involved with both of those. He's involved in another film that I saw called Hell of the Living Dead, which is just awful. This guy makes awful fucking movies, terrible movies. He couldn't even have this long of a list. This is ridiculous.
I was going to say, it seems like, I mean, this guy should have stopped before he started.
Yes, he's got a lot of bad ones here. You can go through and pick just about any of them. Hell of the Living Dead, that's one from 1980. I think that's one where zombies were kung fu fighting and shooting machines.
Wow. That's back in the days where everybody was kung fu fighting.
Yeah, that kind of awful. Zombies hijacked a plane and landed in it. They were holding people high. That's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous what this guy puts out.
Oh, this guy. You don't love his classic film, Rats, Night of Terror, or Monster Dog?
I don't think I saw those, but I don't know. I'm afraid. I don't think I would watch them. Oh, my God. I'm looking at Monster Dog right now. Maybe I do need to watch this.
Yeah, I think we all need to go on a watching spree of Claudio Fragasso movies. We'd be dead in like 3 days.
I'll pass.
Yeah, I bet. It's got to be so bad. I'm looking at the photos from the film, and I'm like, no, I don't want to see this. Like, it sounds real cool, Monster Dog. Like, a rock star returns to his childhood home to shoot a music video while a pack of wild dogs are on the loose going off a local. That sounds fun. I look at these photos, and none of them look fun at all.
Like, zero fun.
Zero.
Go ahead, Esther.
Did we get Jody's thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say, I'm looking over at her, and, I think she's just kind of dumbfounded. Do you have anything that you want to say about this?
This movie was dumb.
There you go.
That's one word for it.
Even the main character's acting, she was bad.
All the acting was horrible.
She was so bad. I was like, wow.
I think the worst acting in the movie was in the last scene when not the husband, the actual killer,
right,
is unmasked and he goes on his
yes,
diatribe at the end. He's got some that out of a shit storm of bad actors. This guy takes the shit cake.
That guy, for some reason, every time he came on screen, I thought he was, what's El Bundy's neighbor's name? Her second husband? I thought Steve. No, not Steve. The other,
Jefferson.
The second
Jefferson.
Husband. Jefferson. I thought it was Jefferson. I think all Jefferson going to kill somebody. That's what I was saying.
But I guess he did kill a lot of people. And what a fucked up way to try to bring somebody's memory back, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, yeah. What the husband did? Yeah.
But the cops were in on it, too. Like, we're doing this to spark her memory. Like, they were all in on it. Like, what?
Because remembering, they said something about option C or something like that when she didn't recognize her daughter, and he was, like, a bit extreme or something. Yeah, they were all in on what was happening. Yeah.
Yeah, dime store Dr. Loomis there, the psychiatrist.
Right?
I called him Loomis Light.
Loomis Light.
Exactly what they were going for with that.
Oh my god.
Well, SJ, I guess if nobody has anything else they want to add to this, I don't even know what to call it, then you can start with handing out skulls. Dom's already throwing his out there. It gets none. I think they may owe him skulls.
Angry.
I want to give it 5 skulls. Just because, but I'm not gonna sully the power of my skull giving over here. So I'm gonna give it a 2, because I did get enjoyment out of it. It made me laugh in spite of myself, and it's just it's a gem. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen. Sorry, Dom. I know you don't agree with that, but I think people should see this flick. I think you should get together, get a whole bunch of weed, get some booze. Get fucked up and watch this movie in a party scenario, and
you'll definitely get a laugh for sure.
Somebody's gonna get laid for showing this movie.
Not sure about that one, but with the person that maybe picked it.
Man, that's what happened to me, man. We watched this movie together, my wife and I, and you know what? That was a good night. Just like Stefan, you're such a connoisseur of fine film. Take me now.
Oh, man. So 0 for Dom. We have 2 skulls from you, SJ. Mrs. Dreads, how many are you giving?
I'm with Dom on this one. I'm not giving
any skulls. No skulls at all?
Oh, bastards.
Now, you know, I'm not going to be as generous as SJ, but I'm at least going to give it 1 skull because it was humorous. The overall awfulness of this movie was comical to me. It's like you literally, it had me thinking somebody actually, you know, was making this and thinking it was going to be, you know, good. Like, man, that was a badass special effect, man. Putting your hand through the chest cap, that was great, man. Nobody will, you know, wonder why this guy's able to do it. Yeah, you know, it was funny to me. And that's the only reason for the laughter aspect of it that I even give it 1 skull.
Fair enough.
So now we're going to jump ahead in time a little bit, because that one was from 1990?
Yeah, 1990. Doesn't look like it, but yeah.
It really don't. I mean, that's another strange thing. It really don't look like it was made in the 90s. My pick is one that, you know, I've been kind of, you know, wanting to, you know, take and talk about, and that being this year's, release, that being 3 from Hell, Rob Zombie's newest, I guess you could say, is it, what, Devil's Rejects Part 2, or, you know, just 3 from Hell, just a separate entity in the trilogy there, however... That was supposed to be played out. I don't think I have to go too deep into, you know, the plot, because I think a lot of those listening to the podcast, and most that will, probably know the synopsis of, you know, what 3 from Hell is. Basically, if you don't, I don't know where you'd be dumb. The end of Devil's Rejects, of course, there's this huge firefight, this big standoff at the end. It's kind of like blazing... You know, guns ablaze, we're just going out in a blaze of glory kind of deal. And everybody kind of assumed that they were dead. Now, when I heard that they were making Three from Hell, I was like, well, think about it. You never do see if they actually died. How they couldn't die seems strange. They were pretty much riddled, at least how it was shown at the end of Devil's Rejects. I mean, really Swiss fucking cheese. But if Three from Hell picks up, you know, from where, you know, that you start seeing, you know, little news, you know, scenes, you know, on TV and everything, which was very, again, reminiscent of Devil's Rejects. And you start seeing some pretty familiar scenarios and how scenes are played out that look a lot like Devil's Rejects, in my opinion. And so they apparently survive. Is a one in a million chance that they could possibly, you know, anyone could survive this, but by God, Otis, Baby, and Captain Spaulding, they made it. Well, of course, sadly enough, this was when Sid Haig was getting really sick with his illness, and he was actually written in to be in the entire film. But due to his health and unfortunately his passing, he couldn't show up and do any of the scenes and whatnot again because he was sick. So Zombie basically had to rewrite this entire script and put in this other guy. What they call him? Foxy.
Yes, Foxy Coltrane.
Wolfman.
The Wolfman. Yeah.
Wolfman. Yeah.
But, so, you know, Zombie had to take and pretty much rewrite the script because it was originally wrote for it to be the three I think we were all hoping and anticipating to see throughout the entire film, that being Captain Spaulding, Baby, and Otis. That did not pan out, unfortunately, but at that point, it just becomes a lot of random nothingness to me. After Baby, you know, they had to break Baby out, which, what'd you guys think about the reinventing of the Baby character and how she acted and thoughts on that? Anybody just jump in?
I thought it was annoying.
Did, like, go ahead. You thought, yeah, it was annoying. You go first.
Okay. Well, to me, I don't know. This one almost seems like not a sequel to... At least tone-wise, it doesn't seem like a sequel to Rejects. It seems more like a sequel to House of a Thousand Corpses to me, because if you go back and watch, it's been a while since I've seen that one, but I seem to remember Baby's character being, you know, and it was the first, I guess, we had all seen of her on screen. She was kind of, you know, obviously played as a ditzy slash psychopath, kind of
infantile,
hot blonde, but yeah, also infantile and childlike, and it seems like she plays that up in this film and kind of goes back to, I just don't know if it doesn't work anymore because you can tell she's gotten older, or if she's, I don't know. I didn't dig her acting in this movie. I thought it was not over the top in a good way, but just kind of almost contrived, almost forced. I felt like it was, I was annoyed by the performance. I'll say that. I don't know how the rest of you feel about it, but you go for that. What were you about to say about her performance?
I actually enjoyed that aspect of it because the backstory behind that was what she was in solitaire. This the first time we get to see kind of how nutty she is at this point is when she goes up for the parole hearing, right? When she's going to get denied at. And some of it, I think, because she's been in solitaire for years. So you got to think about that. I mean, they found out a long time ago, you lock people up in a dark cell by themselves and cut them off from the world long enough, and they all start to go crazy. So you do that to someone who already is crazy, and of course it just amplifies it. But at the same time, I think what she's trying to put across is that maybe she is just kind of trying to make you think that she's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, give the impression, like she's playing it off, like, I'm really not crazy, but this is, like what Charles Manson would say, I'll be who you want me to be. Like, she's kind of playing, and because you see her later, she's not anywhere near as bad as she is right there in that opening, where it's just like, oh, wow, she's, like, off the deep end, nuts. Like, she's totally nuts. But she kind of tones it down, I think, a little after once she gets out. And I think you see the traditional character that you're used to. Hold on, this review is interrupted by a slow motion cut of Rob Zombie. That does happen a lot in the movie. Yeah, it's like the money shot. Like, here's my wife in slow motion. Check her out. She's hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, back to the story. But, like, I actually enjoyed it. Like, there's part of it that I didn't enjoy. You know what this reminded me of in a lot of ways? And maybe you'll get it as soon as I say it. Why? It reminded me a lot of Dusk Till Dawn, where I feel like I watched two movies. Like, yes, this first part is here, and the second part takes place here. And it's like two different things are happening almost. Of course, there's no vampires in here. But I enjoyed the first part more than I did the second. I liked when we first, because it sucks the way that Sid Haig had to leave. And so he becomes the one, like, spoiler alert, I had like 30 seconds if you don't want to hear this. But he's the only one that gets put to death, that gets convicted, because the rest of them, Otis gets away and Baby gets broken out. But I liked the Wolfman. Like, I liked when they thought, when that that couple found Otis right in the beginning. And or was it the Wolfman that they found? And Otis came up behind him with the shotgun, and he blew the one head off. And Otis looked over at him. He was like, "Dude, are you crying?" And the dude's like, "No, I ain't crying. I got a piece of skull in my eye, and that shit hurts."
then he like, actually picks it out and shows it like a piece of skull.
Yeah, like, I enjoyed that. It took a second to adjust to it being those three. Like, you got to make an adjustment to that. And given the circumstances, it's not like, it's not something where it's like, "Oh, well, fuck Sid, he wants money, I'm writing him out." So it's all, you know, Sid, he was sick, he couldn't do it. So I kind of opened up to the idea of it being these three, and would I be interested in seeing that story go further? And I actually, I liked the Wolfman, too, in this movie. I thought he was kind of good. But, I mean, of course, Otis steals the film, like always. Out of the three films in the trilogy, though, I this is not my favorite, for sure. It's my least favorite. I don't think it's as good as the previous two. It could be like a direct sequel, like you said, The House of 1000 Corpses, but it does start off right there where Devil's Rejects leaves off, so.
Yeah, it kind of felt almost like and I know the whole production staff, of course, Rob Zombie being the first there, they were back to a corner because of, you know, Sid's health and everything. And I, you know, obviously having to rewrite the script and come up with a new character and everything. I give the movie the benefit of the doubt for that. But if you cut out that first scene with Spalding and some of the other exposition, it could be a sequel to 1000 Corpses. I don't know. I just, I want to hear the rest of. I want to hear your thoughts on it, Otis and Jody, because I'm very curious to know what y'all really thought.
Well, you know, I think most people that know me know I'm a big, you know, zombie fan. His movies, his music, and when I first saw it, I think I was still, and I went to the special showing that he put out before, you know, it was released. And I think I was just kind of high on the hype, if you will, and the anxiety, and you know, I couldn't wait to see it. It's been talked about for so long. So I walked out of the theater not disappointed, not totally disappointed. I had some reservations. You know, there were some things that I didn't like I mentioned. I think you saw a lot of the same type of scenes. Okay, for one, you had the one guy who with the cowboy hat, the older guy from the little Mexican city there, the little Mexican town that kind of runs everything in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name. Kind of looks like a really old, like, cracked out Rob Zombie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you know, he kind of, you know, he puts him up and you know, in his hotel and whatnot, kind of the same thing that we saw in Devil's Rejects, where you know, they go to the little town, they start partying and everything, and then, you know, the partying's you know, interrupted in Devil's Rejects, that is, because, you know, the old dude has you know he sets him up to get him fucking caught. And the same thing is happening in Three from Hell, except, you know, they're being, you know, they're setting him up so Trio's character, I can't remember his character's name in Devil's Rejects, Trio's. Anyway, it's his son that's kind of avenging him, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And leading the Mexican Ninja Squad that comes in later.
Right, right. And so, you know, it's like they're being set up just like, you know, in Devil's Rejects, just like they are in Three from Hell. There was a lot of similarities. I don't know how many times I turned to Jody while we were watching in the theater and just go like, man, I think I've seen this before. Where I'd lean over and be like, man, that looks a lot like what we saw in Devil's Rejects. I saw literally a lack of creativity on Rob Zombie's part. And it kind of hurts me to say that, but seemed like except for being as good, because out of the three, House, Devils, and this, Devils is my favorite. It just seems like this was a cookie cutter almost with some different characters, but a lot of the same scenarios. And the more I got to thinking about that, the more I was like, God, do I even really like this movie? I mean, I kind of do. There were some cool parts, like what you were talking about, Don, with the bone in the eye. There was some right. funny banter, of course, from Otis. That's kind of his trademark with the, you know, catchy little, you know, lines that everybody remembers from Devil's Rejects. There was those there. There was a little bit of, you know, humor. But overall, I don't know. It just seemed to go nowhere for me.
It's almost that Force Awakens thing, suffering from the same thing. Like, I've seen this movie before.
Right.
There's some fan service thrown in there, but yeah, it seemed to be.
After hearing that, I have to agree. Like, you're totally changing my overall opinion, because, like, yeah, that was one thing I did think the whole time, was this isn't, there's nothing original.
Right.
You're not going to see anything you haven't seen somewhere.
Yeah, and it all seemed to me to be handpicked from Devil's Rejects. There was a lot of the same scenarios. And it's just like, yep. You couldn't have gotten a little more creative with this, Rob. I mean, this is just like too much Devil's Rejects.
Yeah, I just thought everything was kind of dumbed down. I thought the acting wasn't on par with the other two. I mean,
agreed.
Come on, go back and watch House of a Thousand Corpses. It's not going to win any Academy Awards or anything. I thought the acting was strongest in Rejects. I thought the characters were intimidating and brutal and alternately funny at the same time. And you never really knew whether you wanted to root for him or whether you wanted to see him get Swiss cheesed up at the end of the flick. In this one, the movie failed to get me to care about the characters. And that's a big flaw for a movie to me.
Yeah.
And these are characters I'm already familiar with. I should be probably rooting for them at this point. It's that, you know, it's that that Breaking Bad kind of thing. Like, yeah, I know Otis and Jody, you guys aren't Breaking Bad fans, but if you are, Dom, but that was kind of a story of rooting for the bad guy, just kind of in spite of yourself, because it's fun to root for these maniacs. And in this flick, I didn't get that. I didn't have an emotional investment in the movie at all, really. I thought the action moments were kind of cheesy, especially the shootout at the end, mm-hmm. you know, the very last scene in the movie. I'm not going to spoil anything there, but yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was a swing and a miss overall.
Yeah.
Jody,
what did you think about Three from Hell?
I thought it was definitely slower than the other two. I didn't think there was as much gore as there was in the other two either. Yeah.
Definitely not.
The whole baby situation, I agree with Dom, the factor that I think she was playing off of what they expected her to become. She knew what she was doing when she walked in that parole hearing, because she knew she wasn't going to be granted parole.
Yeah. I mean,
at least she didn't go full Eileen Wuornos on him.
Yeah.
Well, true. And, you know, when I got back, when we got back from, you know, seeing it in the theaters, I think SJ, you know, I mentioned, I think it was to you, I mentioned that, you know, at that particular parole scene, the way she acted, it reminded me of some shit that I've seen in serial killer documentaries where people are actually like acting their craziness up. Or just do, I mean, like you mentioned, Dom, I think it was you that mentioned Manson. He would play that shit up and be like you said, I'll be as crazy. I'll be whatever you want me to be, man. I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. You know, I'm Richard Milhouse Nixon. I kind of got that vibe watching her. It's like, okay, here's a serial killer who's kind of, you know, just really acting crazy, whether she's acting, whether she's not. To me, that was kind of insignificant, but I thought that she was kind of playing the board, too. Not that I really liked it. I'm glad she did kind of dumb it down a little bit later on. It was still there, but like you said, SJ, she did kind of resort back to, you know, the baby that we knew in Devil's Rejects, but I don't know. Should we hand out skulls for... I guess I'll start. Okay. I'd already planned on, you know, what I was going to give this one, and it kind of hurts my soul to do it, but I'm literally only giving this one 2.5 skulls. Ooh. And I think it's an entertaining watch. But there's just so much, as we've mentioned, there's just so much that went wrong, even in the filming and the post-production with Sid. There was so much that went wrong. If none of that went wrong, there could have been so much greatness about this fucking movie. And I just want to add before I hand it off to whoever, we'll go to Jody next, but I just want to add, I would have really, really liked to have seen Devil's Rejects be the end of those three characters. And the reason I say is because it looked pretty obvious that they got killed in the end. To get shot up that many times and survive, it was kind of a stretch. I would have liked to have seen them die. And if Zombie wanted to bring the characters back, do a prequel instead of something that happens years after this shootout. I would have liked to have seen how the Firefly family came about. You know, when did Otis become adopted, which is, it's speculated, you know, said that he was adopted into the family. He's not really Baby's, you know, real brother. So I would have liked to have seen all that come together in an hour and a half flick versus what I saw. 2.5 skulls for Otis here. Mrs. Dredge, what are you giving this?
I'll give it 3.
3 skulls. Yeah. I thought about that.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a good movie, but it's enjoyable. I just think it was slow.
It was kind of slow. Dom, what do you said you watched it a while back, and I think you said you're going to stay kind of reserved on this. I've been waiting to hear, you know, what else you have to say and what you're going to rate this one.
I enjoyed aspects of this movie because of the story, but I, like you, think that Devil's Rejects was the end for me, because to me that is one of the best modern horror films that I think's been made. Like, it's one of my favorites. It's something I enjoy every single time I watch it. I love that film. This one, I will see it again. I don't dislike it. It's not that I disliked it. I don't think it was what I was expecting when I went into it. And like I said, just the way they did it, it reminded me of Dust, the way Dust to Dawn was done a lot, and that kind of disappointed me. I don't like where they went with the second half of the movie. It could have went someplace completely different, in my opinion. But I still enjoyed it. I thought, you know, Bill Moseley's always great. I always enjoy the things he's in. His characters are good. I'm going to give this 3.5 skulls.
Wow, 3.5. But it's slowly on the rise. Somehow I don't think it's going to stay that way with SJ. What are you giving this one, brother?
All right. Well, here's the thing. I agree with a lot of the points that you guys brought up. I think a prequel would have been a better way to go if they had time to do that once they found out Sid Haig wasn't well enough to finish production on this one. But they didn't. They did what they did. To me, this movie feels less like a Rob Zombie movie and more like a sci-fi original. It just kind of smacks of cheap, maybe not cheap production, but just not a lot of TLC went into this. Some of the acting was good, as always. You know, of course, Bill Moseley kind of steals the show. Wolfman was good in his own way. I still wasn't a big fan of the acting there. I don't know. I don't have much more to say other than I'm giving this one 2 skulls. And it does kind of pain me to say it, but that's the way I feel. God, I don't mind being the asshole that gives it the lowest score. two for
you
us.
You did that on purpose.
Three from
man.
Hell. It's two. I swear to God, I didn't. That's my true. I can't give it a one. I can't give it so okay. Two.
All right. Well, I don't know. This was a fun one, guys. We had some good ones. We had some lost gems. Of course, Bloody Birthday from 81. We had Trick or Treat from 86. Night Killer. I just laugh every time I say that. Night Killer from 1990. As Dom said, you will not get this time back. Do not watch this goddamn movie.
It's only $1.99 on YouTube right now.
It's free. I found it free on YouTube.
Yeah, but
God.
It's like it's in the original Italian, right? The free version on YouTube?
No. I found an English version on there. Yeah, it's like
what?
It's been up for like 4 months. Yeah, I'll send you the link.
Send me a link.
Yeah.
To that,
And then of course, Three from Hell, Rob Zombie's latest, came out earlier this year. So. Hey, you guys take it, you know, from it what you want, you guys being the listeners, and whether you want to check out some of these gems. If you have already seen some of these, let us know in the, you can let us know in the comment section over there at livingdreads.com, the comment section below this podcast, and or you can let us know up on Facebook. You can send us an email, nightlivingdreads@gmail.com. As always, Dreads with no A. Thank you, Mrs. Dreads, for joining in on this. I know you like to get in on the movie thing.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And of course, Dom, as always, thank you, brother. It's always fun. You always bring a nice laugh to the table with your analysis of some of these films.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure doing this with you all, like always.
And of course, SJ, you picked us a doozy. It was, I don't know what it was. As Dom mentioned, it's something. We don't know what we can call it, but I want to thank you for picking that because it brought about some laughs, and it was a funny watch, to say the least. So, well, again, thank everyone for listening. And again, leave us a comment, send us an email, let us know what you guys thought of these movies if you've checked them out. We'd love to hear your feedback on that. Until next week, we will see you on the other side.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.